How could I describe the white flesh of a Jamaican apple? An apple totally unlike any American one. Being an immigrant is about a dual existence, living in one place while always quietly yearning for another. And in her new book, How to Love a Jamaican, published by Ballantine Books, writer Alexia Arthurs doesn't lavish readers with cliche ideas about island life. Instead, she delves deeply into the hyphenated immigrant experience through complex plots, characters, and ideas rooted in both Jamaica and America as countries and identities. Arthurs offers an honest lens to see the immigrant experience as not one thing, but many things. Alexia, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Also, it's really great to hear you read from the book.
Oh, yeah.
You make it sound good. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. I read a brief excerpt at the beginning, and there are many stories in the book, and I wanted to begin in the obvious place with the title. We heard that some people think the title, How to Love a Jamaican, means that it's a self-help book.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
People have asked you that.
I've gotten messages from people who I don't know, strangers, asking what the book is about. I've seen really funny comments on social media from Jamaicans or non-Jamaicans. So I think it's a catchy title,
for sure.
I hope that means that people will buy the book.
Yeah.
But it's actually a title of one of the stories in the collection. Mm-hmm. And it's based on a line of dialogue where a character is explaining to someone else how to love a Jamaican man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually about gender. About gender roles in Jamaica.
And being that it was the title of one of the stories and a catchy one at that, you made it the title of the book.
Yeah, it just felt like the book was really interested in relationships between Jamaicans, whether it's familial or romantic. So it felt like it just works in a larger way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you get into that so deeply. I'm wondering though, what you think the mainstream perception of Jamaican people and Jamaican culture might be? Like, if the average American were to see this book on the bookshelf and they see the word Jamaica, what are they thinking about? What do you think the perception is of the island and its people?
I'm really interested in exploring that throughout the collection, because I think that people have very polarizing views of Jamaica. Mm. They see Jamaica as this place that has these beautiful beaches, delicious food,
mm-hmm.
or they see Jamaica as being a dangerous place. They hear about the high crime rate. So I wanted to give more nuance,
yeah.
offer a bigger portrait of what people think about and talk about when they think of Jamaica.
Sure. But you're also writing about the personal. I mean, to do that, you write give like these human stories.
Yeah. It's really exciting to me that this is a collection of stories that I think speaks to a diverse group of Jamaicans.
Yeah.
It speaks to all kinds of perspectives, age groups, gender, sexuality. In my mind, it really speaks to how diverse I think Jamaica is and how diverse I think Jamaicans are.
You write about a woman struggling with an eating disorder, a brother who is the lesser loved of two brothers, two young children that drown. Where did some of these ideas come from? I know that is a question that many authors don't necessarily like, but it's such a there's such a diversity of characters there. I don't know. I mean, is it somebody you catch a snippet of a conversation that gives you an idea? Somebody in your own life that gives you an idea?
Yeah, some of these stories are based on conversations that my friends and I have had, or experiences that my family have had. A lot of it is based on my own experiences. I write about my anxieties using fictional characters.
Hmm.
So the stories, I always say that the stories aren't about me.
Yeah.
But I do work out a lot of my issues through these stories.
Was writing this personally therapeutic in any way?
It is, but also hard to go back and to have to... I think that when I was editing these stories, sometimes I had to re-experience things that had happened a long time ago, and that can be painful at times.
Sure, yeah. Sure. What is your experience with Jamaica? When were you there? When did you live there? When did you leave there? What is your personal experience with the island?
My parents were Jamaican. I was born in Jamaica, But my mother left my father, therefore leaving Jamaica abruptly when I was 12. But my family had been undocumented until I was 24, so I hadn't gone back for 12 years. So I had this really intense relationship with this place that I couldn't visit. And I think that's why I've been trying to visit this place through fiction for a long time.
Hmm. Wow. And you have now since been back.
Yeah, I actually was just here this weekend. I went to cover a story for a magazine.
Oh, no kidding. Are you going to be selling this book in Jamaica as well?
Actually, I was talking to a feminist. There's this feminist book club in Kingston, and we're talking about the idea of having a book launch in Jamaica, which I'm really hoping can happen at some point next spring.
I'm Matt Katz, and if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Alexia Arthurs about her new debut collection of short stories. It's called How to Love a Jamaican. The opening story is about two first-generation Jamaican girls having completely different life experiences. Can you explain a little bit about how they differ?
Yeah, so one of them is a Jamaican immigrant. She was born in Jamaica, but she and her mother moved to New York when she was a child. And this new friend that she has is Jamaican in the sense that her parents are. She herself hasn't really been to Jamaica outside of a resort. So they clash over what the main character thinks will be shared experiences. But the friend who is from Berkeley, who is very American, doesn't have a relationship with Jamaica. And yeah, so that's the conflict that they have.
And that is a common conflict, I imagine, within the Jamaican community, and I imagine in many immigrant communities, right? I mean, that exists.
Yeah, I sometimes worry. I think that being a Jamaican writer who lives outside of Jamaica, I do have the anxiety of not being Jamaican enough. But I was born there, and my family is Jamaican. So I understand the conflict, but a lot of it is imaginary, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of several of the stories take place in New York. I mean, it's not just about Jamaica. It's about the Jamaican experience in New York City, which is a significant one.
Yeah, it's definitely interested in the diaspora. When my family and I moved from Jamaica, it felt like we had moved to a place that wasn't Jamaica, that was Jamaica, in the sense that everyone who we knew in church, all of our neighbors, my friends in school were the children of immigrants. Everyone who I knew was from the island. So we had this shared way of seeing things, even though we were living in New York. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested in that, how people take home with them, even when they're not home.
How people take home with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed the concept of the Black Caribbean domestic worker, like let's say a nanny for a rich white family in New York. That's part of the immigrant experience. And I mean, you see Caribbean women pushing strollers of white kids around New York City in many neighborhoods. That concept comes up, and one of your characters uses a term, modern racism, referring to that. And I'm wondering if you think there's a version of history repeating itself when you see that kind of dynamic.
Gosh, it's really hard to speak to that, because I think that people do the best they can, and they find work where they can. So I don't want to speak about that in a judgmental way. When I was, I think that seeing it as modern day, That's such a reductive way of seeing it. When I was, I had expressed that my family was undocumented for many, many years living in New York. And I did a lot of childcare work. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the other people who I'd meet in the playground or in the schools were also from my background. They were a whole lot older. And I think that people do the best that they can do. I love children, so it felt... The work felt good, but it was at times hard.
What was hard about it?
I think it's hard to take care of kids who aren't yours, who aren't raised in the ways that you were raised, who have different values. I had sometimes worked with people who didn't respect me, who saw me as an employee. And I also worked with people who were very kind to me.
Yeah, yeah. different experiences for different people. You can't put it into a box, that sort of dynamic. In the story Bad Behavior, the parents were afraid of their daughter. You write, this blasted country turns children into parents and parents into children. What are the hallmarks of Jamaican parenting?
So that's kind of what I meant when I was talking about caring for other people's children, when you have a different way of seeing childcare. Even now, I'm afraid of my mother. I respect her, but I'm a little bit afraid of her, and I think that that's how we are raised. There's just this level of respect that, gosh, I still, when I'm around my mother, I still feel like I am a little girl, you know? And it's not to say that I sometimes struggle with certain aspects of how I was raised. My mother would argue that I might be too Americanized because I don't think I'd expect my children, or I don't want my kids to fear me. But that was how I was raised. And it's sometimes hard for me to distance myself from that upbringing.
You write about the formula Caribbean mothers use on their daughters. What is the formula?
Do I?
I think that
the mothers from the islands, I think that because families of my background and other places as well are very female centric, in the sense of, even if there is a father in the household, when I think of my childhood, I see my mother. I was raised in a nuclear family, but I see my mother. Jamaican families are just very maternal, and I think that there's something beautiful about that, but that can also create conflict when someone has such a large presence in your life.
They're maternal, but there's also this dynamic because of immigration, where children are raised by their grandmothers. In Mermaid River, a mother leaves her son with his grandmother while she settles in the U.S., and then mother and son are finally rejoined years later in Brooklyn. This is a common experience, right?
Yeah, it is. It certainly is.
And that must cause a degree of difficulty and pain because of the dynamics of immigration and the necessity of going abroad sometimes to find opportunity.
Yeah, it's very painful for me to think about families who are separated because mothers or fathers, or because they just want best for their families. And I think that that's a hard choice that families have to make.
Right, right. Do you miss Jamaica, or do you miss family in Jamaica, or is it both?
I think it's both, but I think that leaving Jamaica fractured, and I think leaving Jamaica but also being undocumented in the U.S. fractured my family in a way that I'm still thinking about. So it's about Jamaica, it's about the people, but it's also about my more immediate family.
It's about your more immediate family.
My mother, my siblings. I hadn't seen my father in a long time.
Your experience is one that is, it's becoming increasingly clear to many of us who are not first generation immigrants that it is a common one, and family separation is so, it is what immigration is often about. It is a defining characteristic of immigration.
It certainly is. Yeah, I think listening to these stories on the news about families who have been separated and the trauma, it's really hard to listen to. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get teary, but it's hard to think about.
If people need a respite from the news, How to Love a Jamaican is available now. Alexia, thank you so much
for
joining
me.
Us. I really appreciate it. Matt Katz and I've been speaking with Alexia Arthurs about her debut collection of short stories. It's called How to Love a Jamaican.